You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane, in for Hanat Bhava. We just heard that some advocates want to strengthen tenant protections at the state level. One way to do that would be to modify the Costa-Hawkins Rental Housing Act. That's a law that's been in place since 1995. What that law does is rein in rent control. Here's how. Rent control limits how much property owners can raise rents every year, right? Well, in California, thanks to Costa-Hawkins, those limits are lifted when a new tenant moves in. In that moment, rent can go up any amount. It's called vacancy decontrol. Then the rent control kicks back in and yearly increases are controlled from that new rent price. Got it? Well, as some cities adopt rent control for the first time, the ins and outs of rental regulation, including Costa-Hawkins, are all back up for debate. So we invited two people with different viewpoints into our studio to weigh in. Jay Kolekian directs the Berkeley Rent Stabilization Program. He's for repealing Costa-Hawkins. Krista Gulbranson directs the Berkeley Rental Housing Coalition, and she disagrees. KALW's Hanat Bhava started by asking Krista what the problems with rent control are.
Well, I think one of the things that it does is it doesn't help the people you believe it to help. So let me sort of give you a visual example. You have a situation where you have a four-unit building and you have two units that are exactly the same. In one unit, you have a guy who's been there for 10 years, and under rent control, his rent has been stabilized and only goes up about $150 a year. So 10 years later, he's paying about $1,000 a month. In that same frame, he's been able to increase his salary by moving forward in his career. Now he makes about $70,000 a year. So he's paying less than a quarter of his gross income on rent. Next door, same exact type of unit, single mother, nonprofit worker, makes $45,000 a year. She came into her unit a few years ago. She's paying $1,750 a month. So where in that does it help the person that really needs it the most when we talk about rent stabilization? It's unfair in that regards. And the reason for that is that rent control does not have a means testing component. So Section 8, for instance, does. You have to prove that you have a low enough income that you're in need of subsidized housing. And that's fair and that's right. In rent control, there is no means testing that tells us whether this person truly needs their rent to be stabilized or not. And so that single mom making $45,000 a year is now in essence subsidizing her next door neighbor who's lived there for 10 years at a much lower rent.
Mm-hmm. Jay, I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, there's a few points that I want to make. First of all, I've never met an owner who, there are many good owners who have good hearts. But I've never met an owner that will charge more for one unit because of what they're getting on another. They charge the market. That's what the current law under vacancy decontrol, Costa-Hawkins, does. It allows when the first tenant leaves and a new tenant, a unit completely turns over, the owner's able to bring it up to any amount, really whatever the market can bear.
That sounds like it would increase evictions.
It does. It provides an incentive to push people out. I would argue that a system other than Costa-Hawkins was fairer. I agree with Krista. That change in state law makes things much more dysfunctional. What we've lost and what cities have lost, and we're really feeling it in Berkeley and I'd say the entire Bay Area, really throughout the state, is the ability of a community to maintain overall affordability in the rental units and in the overall housing stock. And we're able to do that in a strict rent control.
Mm-hmm. But do you see this likely changing at all, this law? You know, what are the political groups that tenants groups would have to fight to get this changed? Or do you see it even happening?
Well, I think there's a possibility of it happening. I think the last several years, the energy is very similar to what it was like between 1970 and 1980. Or 1978 and 1980. In 1978, there were no rent control jurisdictions anywhere in the state. Housing costs were going up for tenants, for homeowners. Individuals who were in their home for many years were at risk of losing their home because of the property taxes increases, something that they're on a fixed income and they're not able to control the costs. And Prop 13 passed. All rent control really does is provide the same types of protections that a homeowner would have under Proposition 13.
Mm-hmm. Krista, you want to respond to this idea that this, you know, this is a time that's hearkening back to the, to those times that Jay is talking about, and it's no wonder that 65% of voters in Richmond, for example, voted for rent control. And what's a good argument against that right now in these times, in this economic environment in the Bay Area?
Well, I think it's important to back it up a little bit. It's not just a direct argument against rent control. So I think you have to understand that the history of housing crisis issues in the United States and specifically in California, we've been playing this ping pong game between sides. So Jay speaks to Prop 13, which was an initial right to the property owner to reduce expenses. And then rent control was a direct response to that. So that was on the tenant side. So tenants got some rights through rent control because it applied rent control to all rental properties, no matter what they were. Then it's important to understand that Costa Hawkins was a direct response to the catastrophic results of that large applicability of rent control. So what we saw happen specifically in Berkeley was from about 1980 to the early 1990s, we saw this incredible ownership takeover in terms of owners feeling so constrained by rent control they couldn't afford to be in the business. They took over their properties to owner-occupy them. And Berkeley specifically saw a loss of 4,000 units at that time. And so who were the tenants that were exiting? Some of the statistics on that are Social Security recipients went down 7%. Single mothers went down 24%. Low-income people went down 11%. So they were the ones that were pushed out by the owners occupying the units because rent control was so strict. So Costa Hawkins was put into place to pull back some of that applicability and also to create vacancy decontrol, which as Jay mentioned is the event in which the tenant leaves and an owner has the right to set the rent to what they want. So in 1996, when Costa Hawkins was put into place, that was kind of the last time we sort of quote unquote reformed rent control by pulling that applicability back. And so here we are X number of years later and the ping pong game continues. And so I think it's not so much a response of what's wrong with rent control is what needs to be modified yet again. What kind of reform do we need to have in public policy and housing policy specifically? And that's where we are today, and that's what we're seeing in some of these cases in cities.
What is this fundamentally about, Krista?
It's a philosophical one, I believe. It's sort of, at the end of the day, I think Jay mentioned it earlier, it's about what's just and fair. So it's what the question is, what's just and fair for the tenant versus what's just and fair for the homeowner?
And they can't be the same thing.
Unfortunately, the two truths cannot really coexist on some level. I think it's very difficult for them. And I think people fall on either side of it. And so what we have here, the philosophical argument is whose rights are more valuable. So there's the right of housing and there is the right of ownership of property. And at the end of the day, a lot of the proponents, certainly on the rent control side, are that they believe that the right to housing supersedes the right to private ownership.
Jay, you're nodding.
I agree with a tremendous amount of what Krista just said. People view this almost as a religious issue. And I do think there are solutions if you take the hardcore ideology out of it.
But people feel so strongly about it on both sides.
Right. Well, then, when people sit down and you take and you can agree on some issues of general issues of fairness and your goals, our goals are to keep people who are part of our community in our community. Our goals are to also make sure an owner does get a fair return.
When Jay speaks of knowing certain percentages of people that have been protected, the kinds of people that need to be protected through rent control, those are certainly in place. But there's the flip side of it, and that is that there's landlords that are very similar needs of protections, low income, seniors with fixed income. These are all people who own properties and do not have the ability to have the cash flow to take care of the building or to do right by their tenants. And so they suffer as much. So how can we protect sort of both of those classes from both the tenant and landlord side?